morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 55 minutes today. I have with me someone I've known for a very long time, have a great deal of respect for. His name is John Barrett. His first name is Representative John Barrett. It used to be mayor, but then he changed it, you know. But all kidding aside, he's represents the people of Northern Berkshire very, very well. He replaced the wonderful, beautiful, who passed us, left us way too young, Gail Coretti. Representative Barrett, good morning.
Well, good morning. It's always a pleasure to be with you in these night hot summer days. We're all complaining now, and then when January comes, we'll be complaining again. So,
I know what you're saying, and I swore that I wouldn't do it, but I got to tell you, the last couple of days, you know, I got a breathing issue. They've been killing me. So
I'm not in your league, but I share some of your pain.
So listen, we got a budget, I guess, kind of. You guys have submitted it to the governor, and she's doing something with it. How do you feel? Because this really is a lot of people. How do you feel the federal cuts will hurt us, or hurt or help? I don't know. I don't know how cuts can help, but
no, they're going to have a devastating impact on the people who need it the most, and that's the sad part of all of this. And people are seeing it now. I think they're going to see some changes in their Medicare and Medicaid and hopefully not Social Security on top of it, of which most receive. But it's going to have a real serious impact. And I'm afraid of what's coming down the road in a lot of areas. In Massachusetts, you know, we receive $15 billion a year annually from the state government or the federal government. And that $15 billion goes to everything from after-school programs to health care, so, you know, taking care of people in need, you know, to highways and bridges and all the other things that they supplement in along with state funding. And it's just going to have a terrible, terrible impact. I see nothing good that's going to come out of this. And you know what? It's not going to save the average taxpayers one red penny. It's all going to basically for tax cuts for the wealthiest of the wealthiest. And something's wrong with it. And I think the other part of it is, you know, when you cut aid to other countries as well as what you're cutting to your own people, and it's not going to help our standing in the world. America's already been there to help people in those areas that whether it's undernourished kids or you know, with education, anything we can do. And the other serious part of it too that really bothers me is that how in God's good earth, green earth, can we stop looking at ways to cure diseases and cutting it back? I mean, what Kennedy is doing is the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I'll tell you right now, his father must be rolling in his grave to see what this son of his is doing, because he was the leader of caring about the poorest and the people in Appalachia. Yeah. And that was his whole political life, and his family's political life was dedicating themselves, giving to those who have much should be working to help those that don't have as much. And I am just so disgusted, but I'm discouraged more than anything else for our future and the young people out there. And I'll tell you, the only way it's going to change from the politicians. I'll tell you right now, it's going to change from the people standing up and saying,
enough
is enough. Yep. And we've seen some of it already, and we have to continue to do it. But I just, like I say, the news gets worse every day. On some of the things that are occurring. But in Massachusetts, I point out to the fact that, you know, this is how they think in Washington, or the administration thinks. We want to make sure that those people who are working get their Medicaid and Medicare and things like that. But you know what? I guess they don't count those people that and individuals and clients that are in places in our ARC system, in BFAIR, I mean, they have no ability to do it, but they need insurance and they need to be taken care of, and it's our responsibility to do it. And it's just crazy to me. I'm closely aligned with BFARE in a way. They're close to me individually and thing. And those kids that, they go off to the recycling center, they go off to other businesses, and they're working, they're training, they're giving them a chance to have a productive life as best as possible. And then you see this happening, and they will be cut with their insurance. I'm worried about the future of the hospitals in this county.
I
I'm
am
worried
too.
about North Adams Regional Hospital that just reopened just over a year ago. I mean, that place has been such a godsend getting it opened, and Berkshire Health
Oh,
System,
absolutely.
other
I was up
hospitals.
there. I needed an MRI. And of course, BMC's booked through, like, I think December. I don't know when. But so they sent me, John, I was so well treated. From the minute I walked in there to when I walked out the door, the Polish princess even said, "Wow, they are so professional." And it would break my heart to see them close that again.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it was reopened, be obviously BH Health System, BHS is it worked hard to push it and get it through, and Congressman Neal was the key person in it.
Good man.
I played a smaller role in, but an important role, I guess, in making sure that the state approved it, and they were the toughest ones, no less. But we did get it done, and it was a combination. Now, what happens is, and one of their prime sources is really Medicaid, and people who have a mass health in this state. What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to the people in the nursing homes? Are they going to throw them out because they can't pay? I mean, it's just
I
crazy.
know.
Things we always took for granted. And do you know what? The only positive sign I'm seeing reaction from people who could care less about politics or what goes
Me
on anyways.
too.
All of a sudden, they're starting to get interested. The people that go to our public parks around the country, there are federal parks. I mean, it's just closing them down. I don't know. This isn't the America that I lived in, and we all lived in for so long. I'm not at, and this isn't about politics. I don't give a damn what party you're a member of or anything else. This is about our country. This is but what who we are and how we value. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I talk about my grandfather, Michael Frazola, who came here. I'm not so sure he was a registered, or documented.
Documented.
And how many came through, same families? They put an I on one family's name, and on the other one they put an E. It
That's exactly.
was just they we opened the doors, and we're going to have a real impact if we don't start addressing the immigrant situation in a humane way. I mean, it's frightening. I never thought in America we would see people masked that go in and pick people off the streets, and I don't. And they're not just picking immigrants off, and other, they're picking citizens off. So it's terrible. It's terrible.
One of my biggest fears, one of my, and it doesn't affect me one iota, is that they discontinue the 3 meals a day in the schools. Because I can tell you, this radio station used to be at the old Taconic. And I used to watch it. I made a point of checking out Monday mornings. And you'd see some kids come running in there to that breakfast because they probably haven't had a lot since the last meal they had there. And I applauded the legislature, all of you, for making that happen. And now I was at the VA hospital, probably Monday or Tuesday, and there were people out in front picketing that had, I guess, been laid off. I went in there and morale, I hear all this rhetoric, as me, I sadly Irish mother would say, all this malarkey rhetoric that all the benefits we're going to get. Well, Let me make one comment. You certainly can disagree with me, but I would spend some time in government. And I will say this, government is not, and this is for my friend Elon, government isn't around to make money. Government is around to help people. And while there's waste, I'm not saying there isn't waste in government. You and I know. But why are you throwing a baby out with the bathwater?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's the way they've reacted to it. Let me tell you, as a mayor, I
I
saw a
don't
lot
know.
of waste in government. I'm seeing waste in government. Anytime there's a bureaucracy involved, you're going to see waste. But I can say this much, they have started to clean it out in the last 10 years, and
Yeah.
they've been working towards that. But you know something? Nobody needs anything in government until it impacts them. Now, oh, everybody wanted to get rid of FEMA. What a crazy outfit that was. And a lot of them were in Texas. Guess what? Who gets hit with that storms? And where's FEMA? They're way down. They're in staffing levels. It's going to impact that. What's going to happen in other states? And with the climate change going on there, I mean, I woke up this morning and people were killed with a lightning strike. A lightning strike in New Jersey. I mean, and storms like they have never seen before. You know, of course we've had heat waves before, of course we've had storms, but not to the magnitude. You wake up, if you turn on Good Morning America in the morning, nearly every day it's about a major weather impact someplace in this country that's been hit. And this guy is reducing FEMA, the group, the and part in government that's supposed to be out there helping people after a storm, helping them get their lives back together, helping them rebuild their homes, helping them rebuild their communities, and things like that. And you know, right back to the hot lunch program, when the go state federal government took a walk on it, Massachusetts didn't take a walk on
That's
it.
right.
We're making sure that kids get a meal, a hot meal or a good meal, each and every day, and breakfast programs are continuing. I taught school, elementary school, for nearly 14 years, and let me tell you something. It was some of these kids were impoverished. They didn't have any food. They didn't have any, and nutrition back in the days when I was teaching wasn't looked upon as being important. But let me tell you, it is, and it makes a difference in a kid's life. And that's what this country's all about. And you're so
Okay.
right when you say government, yes, should be run like a business, but we're not in the business of
Just
making
bringing
money.
in
We're
money. Just
we're
bringing in
in the
money.
business of helping people. That's what it's all about. And that's the bottom line to it. That's why I went into government. I felt as though I could make a difference and speak up for people who didn't have a voice. And sometimes speaking up gets you in trouble and what
Really?
happened. But you know, it feels good at the end of the day that you said the right thing and did it. So.
I never realized that. What do I want to say? The core. I'm trying to be kind here. The coarseness of some people. Like we're having a discussion now. If somebody out there is not liking what we're saying, so it will be an interesting breakfast with the Polish princess as the texts come in. But you know, I volunteer to do this. You know that. I don't get anything out of it, but I try to make it like I'll give you an example. The guys from Casala that the pick up the trash, the toters guys and gals, they're always getting the you know what. Same with the city employees. Well, you were the mayor, you know. No matter what a city employee does, if they stop for a smoke, I saw them standing around doing nothing. They didn't mind that they just did a dump truck full of blacktop on a day like 100 degrees out. So I know what you're saying, and but the coarseness of some of what you know, I was with two people that you know, Francis Spina and Clifford Nylund. We're all the same age. We all were PHS together. And we reminisce. We're like the old guys. Remember when we were kids that sit on the bench and out on North Street and complain, or up in North Ave. And but you know what? When we were kids, John, we don't. There wasn't any. We had John Kennedy. We had people who made a. There wasn't anything we couldn't do. Now it seems like everything we want to do is difficult. That's just my
Well,
interpretation.
you heard that speech, and many have heard it too. When Kennedy said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, what can you do for your country?" And you know what? I can remember hearing that in 7th or 8th grade, and
Me too.
arguing with the teacher. Well, the government should be taking care of us and everything else. And I'll tell you, he laid me out in lavender, and I'll never forget it. And it changed my way of thinking along the way. But it was. Nothing stays the same forever, and we all know that. And everything is temporary in our lives and everything else. But one thing that has always been permanent in our lives is that our government stood to help us. And yes, there was disagreements and things like that, but that's what it was all about. So we'll see what happens. But it is very concerning. But getting back to the state budget. I know that when every earmark that I asked for hasn't been touched yet, and she better not touch it because it deals with the poorest of the poor, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones that have, Berkshire County Community Action, trying to get them a little money. They're in serious trouble, serious trouble. That's the heating programs, that's the weatherization programs, that's related to food insecurity. The Northern Berkshire Food Project that makes sure that some of our poorest citizens get a meal every day, in our food pantry up here. I mean, that's where I concentrate in getting money for and helping. And I'll tell you, it didn't get cut in the budget because but she can come along with 9C cuts later. But my argument's going to be, listen, we're supposed to be helping those people. Every one of my earmarks did that. And I would expect that that goes back to my district, so those people can get the help that they need. But and it is a very, very serious situation.
Well,
But
I
you
think
think about people, and these are seniors now. These
I
aren't
know.
people
Come
that some of the critics say, oh, they don't work. Why should they get fuel assistance and all this other stuff? Well, guess what? Those are our seniors,
Yeah, and they have worked, most of them, for 40, 50
all their lives.
years. I mean,
All of
I hear that too from the Yahoos, and I really get angry at that because I know, and you do, we know people who worked at, say, the GE or Rice's Silk Mill or Eaton Paper. They worked for all their lives, and then these places closed.
Yeah.
And it just bothers me, I guess, too much that we've always been a country that we thought of the poor and we thought of the destitute. When I was with UCP, what are they gonna, what's gonna happen to their budget? Look at the people they deal with. There's not, I would testify before God, there's not a lot of waste in that organization. Not a lot of fat, not a lot, and you know it. You've gotten them up in your agencies. They're stretched like a rubber band.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, are these corporate executives that are now going to be getting $50 million or get $50 to $100 million a year, and they're getting a tax cut? Are they going to give it back to those organizations that needed it the most? No way, no way, because those are the people that'll sit back and probably say, oh, well, those people should get a job and work, well, guess what, folks? There's a lot of handicapped people out there,
That's right.
those with disabilities that just can't work for whatever reason. That's why we, and like I say, the Social Security system, that is so important. I mean, as a retirement package for, and it's not enough. You'll see many of our seniors have work afterwards to get out of the house and do something, of course, at the same time, as well as earn a few extra bucks. We'd be lost without them. Well, it's no thought process. One thing I
No
learned,
humanity is what I keep telling you. Where's the humanity in this?
none whatsoever. One thing that I always tried to learn, or I did learn, I didn't try to learn it, I learned it, and is the best way to govern is every decision that I made when I was an executive as a mayor, I wanted to say to myself, what would be the end result of that decision? Who would it impact? How would it be helpful? Who would it hurt? Everything. That's how they got to make the, they don't make decisions like that today. Elon didn't make them like that.
This is what it's about. Yeah, what it's about.
So you know, I mean, who would have thought that the president of the United States can be involved in this crypto game while he's president? I mean, I don't know. It's just not the world I came up in.
And I think too, what maybe it, everybody's blaming COVID, so I might as well jump on a bandwagon. But you as an educator, now this morning, I heard, I think it was the Business News, 72% of teenagers today, their companionship is with someone in AI, not a human being.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. That's going to be taking over the world. It's impacted governments, impacted business, and it's going to
I
impact
know.
people in their day-to-day lives. And we still don't know what the impact's going to be as far as our workforce goes, because
No.
that's going to be impacted probably too. Maybe it'll be for the positive and it'll create more jobs. We don't know yet. And it's really uncharted waters, but a lot of things are dependent upon AI today and
Yeah.
in our world, no matter what world that you may come out of. But it's a it's just so much uncertainty. I don't like uncertainty. I don't like the unknown too much. And
No, and I don't think any of us do. But before I forget, because I want you to get this book out of the library, "Anxious Generation." It's been on the New York Times, but I read it cover to cover, and I'm back reading it. It's all about technology and what it's doing to the youth. And the guy this morning, and I forget his name, I'll have to run it down. Of course, you know me, I forget where the car is, so. At my age, but what he was saying was, they're spending all this time talking to a computer, but they can't talk to their parents. Because the computer is probably programmed to tell them what they want to hear. Their parents will tell you, no, you can't do that, But I just really I worry about the state. I don't think enough people are concerned, are letting the governor know or their reps know that we are concerned about this. We are concerned about food in the schools. We are concerned about mass health. And I mean, I hope this program enlightens people to become involved, look outside of your little world, because all of our little worlds could be drastically affected. And I don't
Yeah,
think drastically is
and I
a
think in
bad word.
Massachusetts, we have shown in the executive branch, whether it was the Republican governor or was a Democratic governor or was the legislature, that we're concerned. We're concerned about health, concerned about women's health, we're concerned about children's health, we're concerned about seniors' health, and making sure that they have the ability to live with dignity the rest of their lives, whether they're seniors who have retired or whether they're young people coming up. That is so important in our American culture, is giving dignity to people. And I think that's where our concentration has been for a long, long time.
excuse me.
I want to make it clear. I don't always agree with some of my colleagues on some of the things go both on the left and the right, but I do know that but we do put the welfare of people first.
Yeah, and I've said this to you and to others many times. If the federal government would work as smoothly as our state government, and I know there's bumps, but when you look at your situations of getting things done and their situations of getting things done, I'm an old man. I think back on the Kennedy era. I think back on Teddy Kennedy. I think back on Silk Conti, Republican, but always had the people. Always, especially veterans. And I asked today, Richard Neal. I think the world of Congressman Neal. He's always been there swinging the bat for us. And I think, as you know, he had a rough life growing, not kind of a hard life, not rough. Hard life growing up. But I'm not sure all these others are. And I'm not talking on the local level or the state level.
No, I agree with you. You know, some You never should forget whence you came, and the road that you traveled, and getting to where you are today. And at Drury High School, I think a month or two ago, the nonprofits of the Berkshires put together a program with the Drury High School to with a group of kids, great bunch of kids, and how they can give back to the community or give back to others. And I tell you, the stories that I told and other told how important it is, whether it's giving back to a group that's helping young cancer patients or helping seniors or helping those that are homeless or unemployed, whatever it may be, but giving back to your community through an organization. And that's what we should be teaching our kids today. Give back. And it's just like I know even some seniors, I say, don't be, you've got to, some of them have enough money now. You're not going to worry about it. Write a check to that organization that you think can be helpful to others. It'll make you feel so good. And that's why I told the kid, boy, if the old saying, you give something a little bit here, you'll get it back tenfold. And in so many ways, whether it's just a life experience, it may not be monetarily, but you're going to get a good feeling about giving back. And boy, I'll tell you, that's the most, this job that I have and others hold it the same way, it can be tough at times. And we have to be patient because we're dealing with people who have got a problem and they're coming to us. And it can be frustrating, and I get so angry at the bureaucrats. I screamed at one the other day. I had to apologize after, I think, but I don't remember. But scream, listen, I know the face of that person. I saw the face of that person that hurts. It's not a number like it is to you. You got to pay attention when they're trying to, they need help, they're desperate. And I'll never forget when I filled in at the old Berkshire Works, which is now Mass Hire. I mean, I'm a little upset that we haven't doing more with the state. We should have somebody there in that state office helping those people that are going on the unemployment rolls.
That's right.
We don't have anybody there. I should take one out of the call center. Let them see the faces of those people that are hurting. I can remember one instance when a man came in there and he says, I'm 6 months late on my mortgage.
Ooh.
I can't get my Social Security, or I can't get my unemployment check. And this was doing during 2000, 10, 11, 12, when it was little rough times around here. And he just broke down and cried, and you hug the guy and say, it'll be all right. But there's so many of those people out there that, and they're good people. They're the people we grew up with in our neighborhoods, and they're hardworking individuals, no fault of their own, lost their job. What the hell do you say to them? You're gone? We can't help you. Sorry. See you later, Jack.
Or they have an illness. Come out of nowhere and they can't work anymore like they used to. I mean, there's a thousand stories, and I think what bothers me is the coarseness of bureaucracies. The coarseness that bureaucracies have some have evolved to, or fallen into would probably be a better term. We're going to take a break. I'm here with Representative John Barrett, and I know some of you are probably seething. But you know what? Listen to what we're saying. I don't. I learned a lot working at United Cerebral Palsy of Berkshire County, and here's what I learned: there are some people whose life depends on us, depends on other people. And John will tell you, giving of yourself. Again, I used to tell people, "Well, I don't have a." Hey, listen, you got a buck? A buck will help. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBRFM, for the love of radio.
The Pittsfield Health Department is hosting monthly wellness clinics available to the community at the Christian Center, Senior Center, Epworth Arms, Capitol Square, and South Congregational Church. Vital sign checks, medication reviews, and health assessments are offered by the public health nurse. Our social worker will be there with information of available resources as well. For more information about these clinics, please contact us at 413-499-9411.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Larry Kratka here on WTBR, and I want to tell you about my show, Sweet Country Music. Now, every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon, I'll play some of the best classic country artists like Merle Haggard, Dolly Parton, Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline, and many more. I'll play nothing before 2008. Please join me Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for the next edition of Sweet Country Music here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Hey, we're back. The good-looking guy with hair. His name is John Barrett. The old fat bald guy without hair is Bill Sturgeon, and I'm here to welcome Representative Barrett. I love having him on. I've known Representative Barrett for a long time, and you never have to guess where he's coming from. And that's, to me, and I try to be the same way, I try to be, for me, that's being refreshing. We're talking about how the cuts within the federal government's allotment to the state will affect us across the board. So, and you know, there's legitimate concerns with all kinds of things, healthcare, nursing homes, food, heating in the winter. The word I like to use, and when you do these things, don't forget the humanity involved. And maybe my world travel, I've seen kids with, what do they call it, cleft palates. And if they got vitamin A, I think it was vitamin A, the doctors were telling me, they wouldn't have such an epidemic. Well, they don't have it. And a lot of them look to the United States for it. So there we go.
But, you know, you bring up a good point, too, there. Yeah. When we mentioned it earlier about the cutbacks on money to teaching research hospitals and and colleges, that I mean, Harvard is aligned with, you know, Mass General and all of them down there, and these young students are so bright, it's just amazing. And a lot of them are immigrants that have come here, and but we're stopping research on Alzheimer's, on cancers, you know, and Parkinson's disease, ALS. We've all been impacted by those diseases one way or the other. And we're going to stop? Do you know how far we've come in research just in our lifetime?
Yeah.
You know, we wiped out polio. We had the measles wiped out once too. And now this guy wants to, you know, no more vaccinations or whatever. I don't care whether you believe in vaccinations or not. What I care about is protecting our society and making sure that people have a chance for a longer and better life. People are living longer. They're living longer because we found cures to diseases and how to treat them and all this. And now this country, the greatest country in the world, is saying, hey, Russia or England or France or whatever, Japan, China, you go do the research and you become the best. I can't believe this mental attitude. That's, and guess what? We're going to put in tariffs and we're going to make lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
Well, that's, who's going to make lots and lots of money? You know, so I don't know.
Yeah, but you're right. That you know, just going back to the disease stuff, you know, my dad died of colon cancer that was basically undetected till they did the autopsy. And then now, look at, they can detect and take care of colon cancer through testing. I mean, that didn't just happen. Jonas Salk didn't just invent the polio vaccine. It was research into it and trials and testing. And I, John, I agree 100% with you. I mean, why would you go? I there's not logic. So I'm not going to ask the question, why would you do that? Because I don't think you can lie to, what, to save money? Lose lives to save money. That makes sense.
That's not what we're all about in this country.
Never have been.
Never been that way. We've always helped others in need. But sometimes we develop a selfish mentality, and I'm no different than the rest of them. There are times that I've caught myself and saying, what are you, a fool? And, you know, on some things that come along. But I'll tell you, this is a scary time for our country. But you know what? I still have belief in it.
I do, too.
You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, our walk through life is a short one, but along the way, we discover that things work out in the end. And I think in this case, hopefully it will, because you just can't continue the way we're going now. Every morning, you know, whether, excuse me, my allergies are acting up. You know, every morning, you know, whether it's about tariffs or whether it's about this or this threat and that threat, we're going to bomb you into oblivion and all. You know, we all love to see America strong.
Yeah.
We all want America strong. We want them to be the best. We want our athletes to be the best. We want everybody to be the best that they can be, because they're representing our country. I mean, I know, you know, even back in 1980 when we beat the Russians in the hockey.
Oh, I remember it well.
You know, that Sunday morning when they played the Russians and won, I mean, we just went nuts. And I didn't even understand the game of hockey. You know, and it was just amazing. And it's still that way. We want our athletes to be the best. We want our scientists to be the best. We want our companies to be the best. And, you know, most of all, we want to raise our kids to be the best.
That's right.
So, I know. I hope we can get back to it somehow, some way.
Well, I think it's what you said earlier in the show. It's going to take the people to stand up and say, enough, enough. Listen, if you vote for that, we're going to vote you out. And I don't say do it in a threatening manner, but the other problem, and I think, and you can correct me, we need to voice our opinions more to our elected officials.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we have that vote. It is only one vote, but it's a vote. And if we come together, and I don't say it because the world is so coarse today. I got to share this with you. I'm in a big box store, so I don't want to say where. I can't afford the legal coverage. I'm in a big box store just before Memorial Day. I had my Vietnam veteran's hat on. Now, a woman's coming at me, not paying attention, but I'm thinking late 30s, early 40s. She said, oh, how dare you wear that hat? after all the awful things you people did to the Vietnamese people. Hello? I've been home for 54 years. 54. Home. So, you know, in the police academy, I was taught you can't have a legitimate argument with a fool or a drunk. So just, I don't think she was drinking. So just make up your mind what you're going to do and do it.
But, you know, I tell you, you can give them an answer that I now serve in a legislature that has a Cambodian there. We have a one from Taiwan. We have one from Cambodia. Representatives, good representatives, good people.
Yeah.
Just like our country was built upon a long, long time ago. And I'll tell you, they contribute a lot to it. And that's the change. You know, even the Vietnamese woman from, I don't know where she's from, but she talks so proudly of America and the opportunity they gave her. She said, who would have ever thought that I would get elected to the state legislature in the state of Massachusetts?
Cool? Yeah.
You know, when they came over on boats. And she's an amazing woman. And the young man who came from, I believe, part of Lowell, that he represents. He's a young guy. He is so enthralled. I walked into the state house.
Wow.
And walking through the nurses' hall and the great hall, and when we were going in to be sworn in on January 1st, and this young man, he's standing there looking around and everything, and I saw his pin. I knew he would be representing his area up in Lowell. And I walked up to him and I says, are you taking it all in? He says, I'll never be able to take it all in. Mm-hmm. I'm just so amazed that from where I came from and that I'm standing here, you know, in the Great Hall in Massachusetts, you know, and looking at the flags and the and everything and reading about the history of it. He was just so enthralled by it all. And it just struck a note with me that, boy, that's what we're all about. That's what we're all about.
It is what we're all about. Yeah. So to finish the story, they taught me either you can't do that, so either make up your mind what you're going to do and do it. So I, you know what my mind was? Just keep walking.
Keep walking.
Yes, keep
moving.
Keep moving. And again, thank you for bringing that out, because I've seen that throughout my career. I mean, even locally, there are people from Vietnam that are working in various industries. And when you talk to them, yes, they love their country, but how lucky they are to be here, you know. And I want people to understand, if you don't like the way something's going, you do have a voice, and that voice is contact your local politician or state rep or Richard Neal or the senators. That's maybe it. Maybe we, the general populace, have become just a little bit too complacent. Because, you know, I when I hear people say, the wonderful city clerk here, Michelle Benjamin, we do betting on turnout for voters, turnout for elections. And when you see low turnout and you see people I know my age, I didn't have time. What's it take? 10 minutes. I mean, we take so much for granted in this country. Maybe it's because I've had the good fortune of living in and being traveling through other countries that I realize, God, we are gifted.
And you know, and it's just, and I got this from the time in the mayor's office. Usually you could find that most of the people, 95% of the people were happy with something from time to time, and it rotated. And the only ones upset were something the government did that impacted them personally.
Personally, yep.
And that 5% all of a sudden became involved. However, they didn't remain, because we hopefully solved their problem and got it taken care of. But a new 5% would come in, you know, with a... And the only time people really pay attention to what's going on in government is when it impacts them directly.
You're right.
That's what it is. Even our younger generation out there whether you're a carpenter, whether you're an electrician, or whether you're a doctor or anything, you're not really concerned about anything about what's going on in government, whether you, until it impacts you, whether it's a high tax bill, you know, and then all of a sudden you start paying attention. Should pay attention all the time. Our local communities right now are, you know, they're having trouble getting people to run for office. We don't even see contests anymore, which, you know, and that's a sad state of affairs. We've got to get people involved. And then we have to have people on the bench who get experience so they can take over for me and others, you know, because nothing lasts forever in life. And, and you know, so you just can't be complacent. And we as a country, I think, have
excellent
become
word.
complacent.
Excellent word. Excellent word. And I would reach out to people, younger people, to get involved, get on committees. You know, they're always looking for people for committees and boards and things like that. And get involved, so you're part of the process. You're just not sitting on the bleachers watching the team throw the ball.
Yeah, become part of the solution. That's you know.
Yeah. So I have to say, Representative Barrett, back when he was Mayor Barrett, brought a wonderful opportunity to Northern Berkshire, to all of Massachusetts, all of New England. And that was the art center there. I mean, boy, is that taken off.
Yeah, it certainly has.
And when you think you did that with a Republican governor.
Actually, we had to convince three governors, and two of the three we're of the other party, Republicans, but you know, I walk into Massmoke. I have an office on the campus over there.
Oh, cool.
And I walk into there and I just smile to myself. They don't even know who I am. And you know what? That's what life's all about. If you can impact the lives of people in a positive way, that you'll never know, and they'll never know you.
That's right.
I mean, it just makes me feel good. I'm leaving behind some. It gives you personal satisfaction. But if you go into this business for personal satisfaction, I mean, when I left City Hall, they named a chair after me in the City Council chamber where the mayor can, he or her can plant themselves at a council meeting. But I get great when you. But going back to Massmoke, I didn't know a thing about contemporary art. I didn't know what it was, and the community didn't know anything about it. And then I went to them and basically say, "Oh, by the way," to the city council, who I tried to keep involved all the way through the process, is that I think I got a solution to our problem. We're going to save it with a museum of contemporary art. I remember this is a blue collar city.
Oh, believe me,
the
I know
people who lost their jobs at Sprague Electric at that.
Yeah.
Over 53% of them didn't have a high school education, and husbands and wives. I mean, I can remember coming into my office crying, "What are we going to do now?" And we were able to use this museum as a catalyst to do a lot of other things. I wish they had done more since I'd left, but I'm never satisfied with anything. But that museum has been a cornerstone. There's no doubt about it. Oh. However, you know, those that eventually took me out of office, I guess, in that generation were those that, it's time for change. And I always said, what do you want to change? Our low tax rate, our bond rating, you know, which was A or A1, and the museum that we built and changed the whole community completely, or the six restaurants at that time we had in the downtown area. But you know, when it comes time for change, you got to recognize it and accept it, and that's what happened. And if you take it personally, you're going to be doomed. And I did for a while, But that's not what you got to be like Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was one of the great politicians of our time. Let me tell you something, one of the great presidents, despite his issues, because he had a very short memory. He said, you know, if he was going to leave this office with a balanced budget, he had to have the help of the Republicans who controlled. Right. That was Newt Gingrich who led the charge to throw him out of office and impeach him.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what you learn from politics. You have to have a short memory and capitalize on the things you have in a community or a state. We had, when Sprague left, it was 28 buildings, 800,000 square feet over that. But they were all connected with courtyards and things. It was a magnificent complex.
Yeah.
And what it has been turned in today is just absolutely amazing. And it took so many people. But most importantly, it's relevant to what we're facing in this country. If it wasn't for the citizens of North Adams, all right, supporting it.
Yeah.
They followed me and took my word on it. And they got it done. They got it done. Not one negative letter written to the newspaper about Mass Mocha from a citizen of North Adams. Now, everybody else was panning it. But from the Boston Globe, the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and even my colleagues, fellow mayors. But the city stayed together, and they saw that it could help their kids, and it could also save the greatest legacy they had in their life, working life,
was
Sprague Electric, that complex. So got a little luck with it, but it was the local people who contributed, the businesses that contributed. Every time Bill Weld, who was the governor, says, well, you met that goal, and I'll give you $2 million more if you'll raise $4 million more. I said, so finally I said,
he was a Republican, folks.
He was a Republican, but he was a good guy. I liked him a lot.
Very
excuse me. So I said to him, I said, Governor, I says, you can't do this. He says, well, he says, you do it when this one last time. And he says, you'll have me on board forever. And we did it. And the, you know, everybody helped and supported it. And the area communities did too. That's what was the nice part about it. Going down to Pittsfield and asking them for their support in the city council, all of them.
To me, what you have or had, let me say, it remains to be seen whether the cohesiveness of the delegation stays together. But what you had over the past several years is a group of people, yourself, that were working for us, for the county, for the northern, western Mass. You're in the legislature. I have relatives in Boston, in the Southie. But that's because if we don't, the delegation here doesn't work as a team, you're going to be fighting all of eastern Massachusetts. Absolutely. And I applaud you, all of you, for bringing this. Now, I guess it's as far away as Worcester and Agawam, and that's good. That's a block. Now, I'm not a governmental expert, but I was in that in Congress. They look for those voting blocks, they call them. Who can I depend on to vote for this?
Oh, yeah. And you know, I come from the most removed, furthest removed district in the state. And it's a haul getting there. But you know what? I don't talk often, but when I talk, I try to, which is people hard for them to believe here, maybe, but I talk at the right points down there. And it took me a while to learn the legislative process. Someone who'd been in politics for over 50 years, but understanding the legislative process and how it works. And you had to, you know, learn the process and how to get things done. And then I'm just, you know, really proud of what I've been able to accomplish down there. And basically, and I went down there with one understanding. I don't have one vote in that state house. My votes are back in my district.
That's right.
And my job is to work for those people that back there and try to sell what I need to the leadership. And so you have to gain the respect of the leadership and understand that. I've been able to do that. I'm fortunate, but I think it came with experience and that helped quite a bit. And, but you know, we've helped our nursing homes. We've helped our senior centers. We've helped our youth centers, our food pantries, those types of things, communities with infrastructure. I mean, you know, total of over $10 million back to the town of Adams to build the Greylock Center project, which I wish would get going a little more than what it has. But I mean, that's a diamond in the rough right now because it has to be developed. That has tremendous potential.
Oh, I believe.
You know, that can be the environmental center and study area, and lodge can be constructed there. I'm sorry, but you need more than a campground, see? And they all want to build a campground. Or a lot of them, you know, at one time, which failed. And I wasn't pleased that it failed by any stretch of the imagination. But see, it has so much potential to really grow and create jobs and impact. You see, we have two basic industries in Berkshire County now, believe it or not, and a lot of them center in northern Berkshire. One is the cultural institutions that we have. They employ a lot of people.
Yes,
but more importantly, they bring a lot of here. Look at what Tanglewood brings here.
Yeah.
Every year. And now they're coming north to see the museums that we have up here.
Yeah.
And we have the outdoor recreation. That's what the young people are looking at now. They want to live in communities and areas. We have the Ashwillie Truck Trail, which eventually, maybe not in my lifetime, but it's getting there. But right now, it extends from Adams, you know, beyond Pittsfield. And it's on its way to the Connecticut border. And we've got, you know, hopefully we'll get it connected between Williamstown and North Adams to get to Adams. So eventually, you're going to be able to use that trail to go from Williamstown all the way down, which is the Vermont border, think about it, the Vermont border all the way down to the Connecticut border. And that's going to happen. So that it's bringing so much, the dirt bike trails and that are out, mountain trails, dirt bikes, the mountain riding and is going to be successful. So there's so much potential here. And you know, the old saying, and it used to be up here, you can't eat grass. We need jobs. We need jobs. Yes, we do. But this outdoor recreation and where we live, I think, is going to be the future of this area and bringing more and more people here. And our educational system.
Yes.
We have to invest more into that. It's got to be, because that's what brings young families here.
John Barrett, representative, mayor for more years than I can remember, from North Adams, a contributor, if I may, and I mean this from my heart and my brain, what's left of it, a contributor to the betterment of all people within the Commonwealth and wherever he goes. And John, I mean that. Thank you for coming on. Good luck. I hope you feel better. And just remember this, folks. What you contribute to society, you'll get back, whether it's fun, time, and talent. You know, I can remember a priest one time saying, for those people who don't have the funds, contribute time and talent to the parish. And a lot of people did that, and they did it in many ways. John, God bless. Take care of each other, folks. We got to start taking care of each other. Be kind to somebody today. Lift somebody's burden. Don't be ugly muggly. There's enough ugly mugglies out there. Be kind. Be the person who makes somebody smile. You lift their day. John, a million thanks.
Well, thank you for having me on.
No, you're I try to get you on once a month. Folks, God bless and take care. I'll see you soon. And John, again, feel better and thanks so much.
Yeah, these allergies got to go away at some point.
Oh, this heat's got to go away. This old fat bald guy. All right, brother. Take care. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.